Your life and my life is a little bit like a soccer ball. A soccer ball has direction, at least when it's in motion. It has direction. And most of the time, destination is determined by direction. So your direction determines your destination. If I kick the ball that way, does anybody really expect that the ball is going to go that way, other than the fact that I might kick it wrongly? But if I kick the ball that way, will anybody get surprised if it ends up going any way other than that way? No, no. Because apart from some sort of intervention, so maybe somebody will get the ball and throw it back, right? Or maybe I would kick it in a different direction. Balls tend to go in the direction they are set. Balls have momentum, and so does your life. You have momentum. You are heading in particular directions, both your life as a whole and individual components of your life. You're heading somewhere. One of the gifts of a new year is it gives us a chance to reflect and go, do I like all the ways that my life is going? Do I like all the directions that my life is pursuing? Because for the most part, if you like where things are going, keep doing what you're doing. But if you're not satisfied with where your life is going, it's time for something to intervene. Time for a change of plan. It's time for something else to change the direction. So we're going to look at that today. And just look at the topic of goals or plans. I want to start off with just a quick overview of some of the things that the Bible teaches us about goals and plans. Just look at a few scriptures, because scripture actually has quite a bit to say about plans and goals. Commit to the Lord whatever you do. Proverbs 16:3 says, and he will establish your, what's the word? Plans. So commit your plans to the Lord. It's important that you do that. Then we look a little bit later, 16:6. In their hearts, humans plan their course. That's a good thing. But the Lord establishes their steps. You can have a great plan. God might have a different plan. That doesn't mean it's bad to plan. What it means is that we need to consider God's plan for us throughout our plans. Let's keep reading. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, or you could say all your plans or all your goals, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Or in the book of James. Oh, actually, let's say one more. Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit. In other words, plans are a good thing. As surely as haste leads to poverty. Ever been to a casino? That's right. That's how that works. That's how that works. Taxation of people who are bad at math. Okay, James 4:13-15 says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this city or that city and spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Verse 14, why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist. That appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. So in other words, plans are good. Plans are good. Plans without God in them are foolish. It's kind of like a farmer saying, well, I'm just going to plant some seeds and expect that things are going to grow without ever looking at the calendar or considering the season. It's foolish. Why would we make plans without consulting the author of the universe in the process? Jesus put it this way, and this is kind of the verse of the day. Matthew 6:33. But seek first, he said. This is after he's talking about, you know, all the things that we worry about, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. He says, seek first his kingdom, God's kingdom, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So as we put God first in our plans, as we have God-directed goals, that's kind of the big idea of today. What does it mean to have God-directed goals? What does it mean to have God-directed plans? Then the goals that we set, the plans that we set, can help us to seek God with the entirety of our lives. Help us to know God's will, to be in alignment with God's will. So I want us to take a look at goals and plans. Here's where that worksheet comes in. So I'm gonna go fairly quick here, just to give a bit of a crash course, I guess, in goal setting. And then I'd like you to spend some time today. I realize that for many of you, and at least for myself, goal setting is something that is just a regular discipline in life. It's something I take very, very seriously. And it usually takes me several days each year to kind of go through and review those things. So I recognize for many of you, setting goals, even if you just, you take a few minutes today, my prayer is really that you just start a process. That you go, I really want to do this. I want to lay my goals before the Lord. I want to be seeking God's will in all that I do. God, what do you want for me in my life? And Lord, how can I take those things that you want for me and turn those into plans for a life of health in the various arenas of life? Not so much that I'm looking to make myself better, but God, help me to be healthy. So just to look at some of those arenas of life and recognizing it will probably take some time. So that's why I hope you take this insert home, add to it, modify it. But whatever you do, don't ignore it. Because you know what? Ignorance is a plan too. It's just a really stupid plan. Apathy is a plan. It's just not a good plan. So I'm urging you to just be diligent about, Lord, what do you want for my life? As far as I can tell, how can I pursue faithfulness in my life? So I want to look at some goals, actually open up at least a few of my goals for the next year, kind of talk through at least how I think through them. You might come up with some better ideas. You might add some things to that. That is absolutely great. I'm just looking to kind of get the ball rolling and just let you and the Lord take it from there. So look at various arenas of life in no particular order, things like work, your relational life, your physical health, your spiritual and emotional health. And in each of those areas, at least for myself, I look for, how do I want my life to be different? Let me just start with, next slide, please. So we start with the end in mind. Here's a question that will help you to form your goals. I mean, what's the long-term goal? What kind of a person do you really want to be? I had the privilege this week on last Tuesday of preaching the funeral for a man who has been my mentor over the last 22 years, Eric Josephson. And just marveling at the legacy of faith that he left. Including, I was looking at five rows back on the left was his nephew. He's a guy by the name of Neil Josephson, currently the director of Family Life Ministries in Canada. And I was 13 years old when he presented the gospel at a youth rally, and I gave my heart to Christ. Ultimately, because of the legacy of faith of this family. See, there will be a day when people will gather and they will remember you and they will remember me. What do you want them to say about you on that day? So just take a moment. Think about that. Maybe jot a note down. What do you hope people will say about you at your funeral? And then moving to a more, hopefully, a more near horizon point. 5 years from now, I hope to have developed in the following ways. I know I hope to be a more patient person. I also hope to be more brave. I hope to have a better prayer life. I hope to know the scriptures better. What are some things for yourself that you hope will be true about you 5 years from now? You're going to age. How do you hope to develop? Aging isn't optional. Development is. Maturity is. How do you hope to develop? How do you hope to mature? Taking a look at the various arenas of life, and then as you look at maybe just the next year, and we start to take those dreams and we start to turn those into plans, here's some things I'd recommend. So with the first question, you know, with God's help, I will. And you make some goal that is specific. We're going to get to a couple of specific things in a moment. With God's help, I will. What is an action that you hope will happen that leads to the change that you're hoping will happen? And the question that goes along with that is, why do you want that change? I mean, what's your motivation for that? Because most of the time, if you can lock in on the reason why you're doing something, you can find the energy to do it. There's nothing that you would put on this list that isn't something you already care about passionately. There's a reason why. Lock in on the reason why. And lock in on the question of, why would God want this for me? How is this in alignment with what, as far as I can tell, is God's will for my life? And please don't, let me just, tiny little bunny trail here. One of the things people sometimes do, it sounds so spiritual when they say it, but it's just so incredibly lazy, is to say, well, I'm just going to sit around and kind of do nothing until God tells me specifically to do something. It sounds like, oh, I'm just waiting on the Lord on my couch. But that's actually not faithfulness at all. See, God likes to steer moving objects. And so we start with obedience in the areas that we already know just from the scriptures that God calls us to. Where are you in God's word? Where are you serving somewhere? How is your life being generous? We don't need to wonder about whether God wants that for you. Start with what you know. Start with the things that are true for every believer. And then as you pursue that life of faithfulness, trust that God will make it increasingly individual. So why do you want to do something? And how is this in alignment with the things, as far as you can tell, that are in accordance with God's will for you? Don't be afraid to start small either. Here's one of the things you probably know, I mentor a lot of worship leaders. And you know, one of the things that sometimes will come up is people that are really eager to lead worship in large environments. If you can fill an arena with people, there's all sorts of people signing up to be on the worship team. Everybody wants a massive platform. But the real question, the real test of a worship leader, is will you lead worship to children's church just because you want kids to fall in love with Jesus? We need people to serve music ministry on the seniors ministry team. That's the heart of a worship leader. You start with where there's opportunity. You start small. Be faithful with the small and entrust God for the rest. Serve where you're planted. So, with God's help, I will. And then we become specific. By. There's a date. You know, by such and such a date. Or every single day. Somehow it's time bound. And thirdly, my progress will be indicated by, there'll be something that helps me know whether or not I'm moving forward in that plan or in that goal. Now, let's look at one a little more specific, and we can talk about the details. So, with God's help, I will, here's one of mine. I will be in God's word when? Daily. I want to be in God's word daily. Why? Why would I want to be in God's word? Well, I want to be in God's word because I want to know God's heart. Because I want my life to be obedient to God's plan for me. I don't want to miss out. I only get one shot at this life. Why would I not want to hear from God on a daily basis about how to live it? So, For me, this is what I do. This isn't for everybody. This is where it gets very specific. But I'm looking for what's an indicator that I'm actually making progress or being faithful towards that health goal. My progress will be indicated by a YouVersion reading plan. Okay, a little geeky. Here we go. There are apps. These little smartphones, they can do cool things. So there is a program, Bible.com, that shouldn't be hard to remember. You can download a Bible to your phone. And there's thousands of reading plans. It almost doesn't even matter which one you pick. Just start somewhere. And you can be consistent. In this particular program, there are ways where you can have friends. And so there's some people that I'm friends with in YouVersion, many of you, in fact. And so you actually know whether or not I'm in God's Word on a daily basis. I'm being accountable. Now, that is a way of knowing whether or not I'm making progress. That's a good thing. But realize every one of those things, every measurable metric, they leak and lie a little bit. I mean, I could be in God's Word, be in it for all the wrong reasons. I could be in it because I'm trying to show off. That's a bad reason. I could be in God's Word because I really want to win at Bible trivia to prove how much smarter I am or whatever. That is a really bad reason. However, if I'm not in God's Word on a regular basis, it's going to be really hard for me to pursue the core motivation, which is to seek God in my life. You see how that works? So you don't put too much weight on the measurable, but it's still something that you track. Am I being faithful in the things that I believe God is calling me to do? I should also point out, you don't beat yourself up. Like, if I miss a day, it's not like, oh, it's awful, I have failed, and I must quit. No. Tomorrow's a new day, and I will pick up the plan the next day, because, you know, any day that I'm in God's Word is a whole lot better than every day that I'm not. So, if you don't meet your goal, you don't worry about it so much. Just be grateful for the progress that you do make. Okay, so let's look at a couple more. You're opening up my diary here, recognizing there'll be, your list might be different, but here's in the emotional relational category. With God's help, I will be more connected to my spouse. I really, really like being married, and I want it to stay that way. I want to know Anita better in 2015. I want the level of trust and intimacy between us to deepen and grow. So I want by the end of 2015 to say, you know, I really feel like we know each other better. So, it's a concrete goal. There's a motivation why. But I know that it's in the kind of thing that God would have for me. It's in accordance with His Word. And then you look at it. Here's a progress metric. So, you just look at my calendar. So we schedule weekly dates. Most often that's on Tuesday, because that's my day off. You might do that differently. But there's something. There's something. And, you know, if we end up having to miss a date, you know, a week or even 2 weeks out of a month, that's not a horrible thing. But you know what? Let's say we only had 2 dates in a month. 2 is more than 0. And so that's better. That's better than what it would have been had I not had a plan. Does that make sense? So you don't beat yourself up about, you know, the metric, but you still have it. How do I know? How can I create and put myself in environments where the things that I am longing for in my life can happen? So I'm going to go to one that's this is much more specific. So just bear with me here, but I want you to understand how it works. Okay. With God's help, I will be in better shape because I want to be healthy, because I have a young family that needs me, because I've got an incredibly demanding job and I want to have energy for it, because I love what I do. And so I want to be in better shape, especially in the area of which for me is strength training. So I kind of set a goal. This, you can laugh if you want. That's all right. I have a goal that by the end of 2015, I can do 100 push-ups in a row. So it's one, I'll know whether or not I'm making progress. And you know what? I'm not going to beat myself up if at the end of the year I can't do 100 push-ups in a row. I just know that any progress is going to be better than where I am right now. Does that make sense? So I'm not saying that you should have the same goals. You'll probably come up with much better goals. But I do urge you to seek God. Lord, what do you have for me? How can I pursue health? How can I pursue faithfulness in my life? So I just urge you for the next maybe 3 minutes, jot a few notes down. You've got a piece of paper. You've got a pen. You've got the capacity to think and pray. Let's go for it. Okay. Mackenzie, can I call on you to do a little bit of thinking music? Music to think by. Okay. She'll play thoughtful thinking music, and you thoughtfully think. Okay? We're a team. So while the band is coming up, I can take a moment, and because I'm assuming that some of this work you're gonna take home, you're gonna be thinking about maybe over the next few days. But I do urge you to talk to somebody, maybe get in groups of 2 or 3 or at the most 4, and I'd like you to share one goal for 2015 with somebody close by. If you need to, because many of you are thoughtful people, it takes you a while before you want to commit to any goal in particular. It's okay if you want to say, I'm thinking about this as a goal. I'm wondering whether this should be a goal for my life in 2015. But talk to somebody close by. So they can be in front of you. They can be behind you. They might be next to you. If you have your arm around them, it's already obvious. So... Well, unless you don't know them, in which case it's obviously creepy. But take somebody, share one goal. And now let's together join in prayer and commit some of these goals to the Lord. Lord, we want to lay these plans before you. We recognize that apart from your leading and guiding and blessing, all these plans are their foolishness. But Lord, as you lead and as you guide, as you direct, God, we also recognize that these plans can be life-changing. Lord, we want to grow closer to you. Lord, we want to trust you more. Lord, we want our lives to be marked by faithfulness and fruitfulness. So, Lord, help us to make wise goals. And out of those goals, to make wise plans. God, that we might honor you in every part of life. We want to follow you wherever you lead. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand as we...